Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob here, getting ready to talk about episode 6 from season 3 of King of the Nerds. But before we get into tonight's show, I want to take a moment and play you a quick promo for another show you could hear here on Podcast One. It's Get Into It. It's the podcast from Vinny from the Jersey Shore. He's following in the footsteps of Snooki, and he's got his own podcast too here on Podcast One. So check out this from Vinny and then King of the Nerds.
Yo, what up, everybody? It's Vinny Guadagnino. You remember me from the Jersey Shore? Well, I've got a new podcast. It's called Get Into It with Vinny G. That's exactly what we're doing. We're getting into it with my celebrity friends, with you guys. We're getting into pop culture. We're going to talk sports, politics, food, comedy, dating, relationships. It's the jack of all trades, master of none podcast. Just like me. It's fun, it's silly, and you should definitely get into it. So download Get Into It with Vinny G now at iTunes and at podcastone.com.
Coming to you live from the RHAP studios, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who's always hot and ready for some podcasting, Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to our King of the Nerds wrap-up. And we are back. Episode 6 is in the books here on King of the Nerds Season 3. And we are going to talk about a night where we saw Colby. We thought maybe he could run the table. Alas, he cannot. He could not stand up to the horror movie zombie pinata punching bag game from Price is Right. All right, let's bring in our panel of nerd experts. First, here is a man who studies all things forensic science to prepare for this King of the Nerds discussion. Here's Mr. Brendan Noel.
I went to a forensic science summer camp like 12 years in a row for funsies. This is perfect. I'm so ready to talk about this.
Did you really?
Wow.
Oh, absolutely. I did, like every kid does, right?
Wow.
Didn't you do that as a kid?
No.
Guys? Anyone?
No.
I had to go to college for that.
Yes. And now also here's a man who's was in all black earlier today because he thought he was in mourning about Pom Pom Kitty. Mr. Mark Solera.
Hey, do you guys just not want to do a podcast this week and do a Star Wars improv for an entire hour?
Star Wars improv.
Oh, I'm down. I'm so down.
How do you improv Star Wars?
It's a good question. It didn't seem like they were really improvising as much as reenacting. I would have liked to see the, you know, hours of footage that was left on the editing room floor there. That was all kind of happening in the background while Rachel was teaching Colby about friendship.
Yeah.
Plus, how do you do the force? Like, do you just like say, "Hey, can you fall down for a quick second?"
Yeah, that'd be an interesting thing. Maybe somebody can figure that out for us about how you do a Star Wars improv. Is it sort of like, "All right, give me a character and give me a location," and then Lando Calrissian in Mos Eisley, like. Hey, do you have any Colt 45 around here?
Oh, I think I heard somebody say Tatooine, and we're taking you there.
There you go. All right, so let's get into this. It was a night where I thought this was a weird concept for King of the Nerds to do. They wanted to do sort of like a CSI / Law and Order parody, but it was sort of like a poor man's version of Whodunit.
Yeah, it kind of was. I mean, like you said, it was odd that kind of, they obviously was the whole visual style parody of Law and Order, but it really was more like CSI. Maybe just, it was taking more time to make their knockoff of the Who songs. I don't know if that was the issue, but See, they need to be going to us with music then, because we got them covered on this.
Yeah,
it was an interesting, I think, idea. In the sense that, I mean, we heard so many of them talk about like, oh, I did this in school. We did this forensic thing. Rachel's talking about like, oh, we had this class where the professor pretended that, you know, he was killed in the hallway and we had to figure it out. Or maybe they've all killed people and they just, you know, are really, you know, this is a creepy episode of King of the Nerds overall from Curtis and Bobby skulking in the background of these challenges. Oh my God. I wouldn't put it past them.
You know, since we're on the subject of this, I was thinking as I was, you know, cleaning my old apartment over this like last couple days and like trying to get my security deposit back. I feel like that activity of trying to get your security deposit is probably the best practice you could potentially get for trying to get away with a murder. Because you're really just like in the process of trying to remove any sort of evidence that you were there. It's like you're just looking at like scratches and things on the floor. It's like, oh boy, how do I get rid of that? Okay. How do I make it look like I was never here? I feel like that's probably like pretty good practice. You know, you sort of like are involved with like a lot of like sheets of like plastic stuff that you're putting on the floor also in the painting process.
Yeah, between tonight's Kin of the Nerds and the entire first season of How to Get Away with Murder, I have not learned how to get away with murder. So, false advertising.
You need to move more.
I do need to move more.
Yeah.
Try and get my security deposits back.
Yeah, Mark, did that play for you, the crime-solving aspect of King of the Nerds tonight?
I was honestly just expecting, like, maybe, like, Ben to have, like, sunglasses on and then say, like, as they were trying to solve the crime, to take it off, say some horrible pun, and then cue the Who music. It's, like, to me, it was really odd. It was such an odd, like, challenge overall.
Yeah, I was really just waiting for Giles to pop up at some point. Colby! Jonathan,
he would have been available. I don't know why he wasn't there for this. That would have been great, and I think he would have shown more interest in watching this challenge go down than Curtis, who I think was basically like had his hand on his face, which was sort of in the background there watching them solve their little DNA kits or whatever. This was, in terms of engagement with the viewers, this is not one of the best challenges King of the Nerds has ever done.
Booger. Yeah. I did not really think that this one worked at all. Especially it was like, you know, there was no sort of crime scene that they were investigating. They were like sort of just like working off an iPad. It was just really wacky. You know, there was like Frankenstein and a lineup and the Wolfman and the Invisible Man. You could see the strings on what was going on there. It just seemed like, I know that you guys were critical of the game night, but I feel like game night was way better than the CSI challenge.
I think that's true in the sense you can obviously play along with game night. The thing about this is like the only thing I really would compliment, I think, is like production design in some aspects. I liked when they brought them into the sort of like holding room where they were showing them the suspects, like they kind of washed out the colors. And I think like that was kind of interesting. And again, the Law and Order motif is clever, even if it was more like CSI. But yeah, just this was the problem I had with the season finale last year, where it's just like everything is too small. We can't see what they're doing. It's impossible to really figure out, especially because they're doing so much editing that we had to have everybody in confessionals tell us what was happening rather than showing us what was going on, because there was no way to show us everything. It was moving along too quickly. Everything was just so small. It's not good.
And I didn't understand the logic of what even happen, because so Pom Pom Kitty was murdered. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then we have like DNA evidence supporting that there was a murderer, and somehow a werewolf needed to use a syringe to kill Pom Pom Kitty, which sort of just defeats the purpose of him even being a werewolf. I mean, the fact that he's a werewolf, he should not require a murder weapon, especially one such as a syringe. But that being said, the werewolf was Pom Pom Kitty.
Yeah, that made no sense.
She faked her own murder, guys. Don't you get it?
I didn't understand so, that at all.
So is Pom Pom Kitty a drug user? Like, does Pom Pom Kitty have problems that we need to worry about? Like, did Pom Pom Kitty dose herself with like heroin to the point that she passed out and everybody thought she was dead? And then found the DNA evidence on a syringe, which then ultimately pointed back to her.
Well, we're probably going to have to figure this out when she goes to timeout.
Yeah. She's grounded. Well, now I know why.
I think even that is less disturbing to me than like what originally seemed to be the conclusion, which is that the werewolf bashed Pom Pom Kitty's head in with a hammer. I think was one of their original sort of deductions. It turned out not to be the case. They had all these, it was like Clue. They had all various weapons and suspects. But yeah, I feel like a werewolf just is one giant murder weapon. So I don't really know why he needed the syringe, or she, because it was Pom Pom Kitty, which again, doesn't make any sense. I guess they thought it was funny. It was not funny.
Yeah. And what was in the syringe? Was it bourbon?
Oh, who knows what was in
what you did there.
Yeah. So I don't know. We'll have to see how that all unfolds. But yeah, it was like the things that they were testing for the DNA. There was a wine glass, a syringe, a microscope. There was a microscope was one of the things that they were testing for DNA. Isn't that a little bit of the dog chasing its tail of we're testing a microscope for DNA by putting the slides under the microscope?
Yeah, like did they must have had a second microscope to take a look at this. I don't know. We didn't get a sense of what was in these, rented out high school labs I think they were in.
Yeah. So I was not a fan of the first part of the challenge. But interestingly, and we had so much of the strategy talk from last week's show, and of course I thought you guys did a fantastic job with Jessica of breaking all that down of Jonathan's defection from the strategic six. Oh, I'm sorry, from the strategic six. Well, is different from the secret six.
Some people would say not.
Yeah, from the secret six. But I felt like that was all gone in this week's episode. We were down to our final seven. Did you guys feel like all of the strategy talk from last week was sort of out the window, Brendan?
Yeah, pretty much. None of it seemed to be brought up, or if it was brought up, really matter anymore, because the sort of strategy talk of this week that dominated was whether or not Jonathan was going to put himself into the nerd off, or if he was going to let Amanda take it because they thought that she would have more of the horror movie knowledge to go up against Colby. And I don't know. Mark, I know you're still on the Jonathan train, but I feel like
I'm still driving.
You're still driving the Jonathan train. You're the conductor. I'm right. Still not entirely sold on him, though, if he's going to continue to make a move. At the start of the episode, it was just like, whatever, I'll go in. Who cares about my pride? I'll go in and I'll take down the Jeopardy champion. And I don't know. I mean, any credit you want to give him for like weaseling his way out of this, I think is entirely on accident. So
yeah, Mark, I really am confused, because last week it was the whole big thing of like, I don't care, I'll go with Caitlin. I'll start a new alliance with Caitlin. And it seemed like all of the strategic talk from last week's episode was just totally forgotten about by this episode. There was no sort of talking about working with Caitlin and Rachel and Colby.
I as much as I would like to take credit and like to drive the Jonathan train, I cannot defend him at this point. I think he's the emotions of seeing someone that it came across like they weren't exactly close since he threw her under the bus. But from what I understand off of the show, like how they interact, he thought of her as a really close friend. So I guess the emotions just played a huge part in this move.
I wonder if it was just that Jonathan didn't care for Heather, and maybe he was like more willing to get Heather thrown under the bus. But then once she was gone, he didn't have the heart to do that to Amanda. What do you think of that?
I think it's definitely a possibility. I mean, the only strategy talk we saw really out of Caitlin tonight was she sort of went to Colby early in the episode and was like, oh, Colby doesn't want to talk to anybody, but I feel like I should, stay in his good books, which of course doesn't matter because he's gone now. And yeah, we saw no conversation between her and Jonathan. All the strategy talk was between Jonathan and Amanda. Yeah, no continuity from last week where it seemed to really, really matter. And it seemed to be, like this was going to be a critical moment in the season for Jonathan that was building up to his inevitable win. And no.
And now that we're down to just two people left on Team Smash, do they do on King of the Nerds? Will they even up the teams to 3-3, or will we have a team of four compete against a team of two next week, Mark?
They dissolved at the end of the episode.
Okay, so what are they going to do?
It's basically like the equivalent of the Survivor merge. It's everyone for themselves. Whoever wins the next Nerd Off, which honestly at this point, since we got no preview, I have no idea what that could possibly be. But whoever wins that Nerd Off is safe, and then we just pick whoever the bottom two are.
Now, isn't this a different format than what they've done in seasons past, Mark?
The thing is, they have an extra number. So I honestly, Brendan, I don't know about you, but I'm thinking we might be seeing a double elimination next week.
Yeah, it could be coming, or they'll find a way to take it down from 5 to 2 in the finale, which would be a busy first challenge. This is, I think, typically what they've done in the last two seasons is they go to an individual game, and then mm-hmm. it still works as that the winner of the Nerd War gets to pick the one person who they want to go into the Nerd Off, and then everybody else gets a vote, and the majority sends the second person in. So yeah, the teams are dissolved. It's now kind of in the merge state right now.
Okay. Well, we're down to just our final six here. Do we have a front runner looking at this group of six? I was with you. I felt good about Jonathan coming into this episode, but I feel like now I feel like he was very wishy-washy.
The thing is with this show, I can make arguments for Amanda. I can make arguments for Jonathan, but knowing the last two winners and how they came out in these final two episodes, it honestly could be anyone's game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm almost tempted to go for Rachel just because she's getting kind of like a quiet edit, but she's getting sort of important character moments, if you want to call them that. She's bonding with Colby and trying to be, you know, the good nerd. And again, this is not a show that I can really track the editing on very well, whereas we've had, you know, 30 seasons of Survivor now to figure this out. 3 years into King of the Nerds, we're still kind of trial and erroring this thing.
Yeah. I wonder if it's because Team Smash has gone on such a losing streak, but I feel like we know Amanda and Jonathan so much better than the, you know, Caitlin, I feel like we know fairly well, but Rachel and Ben and Lily, I feel like those three people, I feel like we know almost less about than, you know, many of the other contestants that we've seen before, Brendan.
Yeah, Lily, I think I remember she, Kay, like coming into the season, I think she promised to be a much more quirky character, and yeah, she's just been giving us really nothing. I mean, I couldn't tell you anything about her personality that I think sets her apart from other people. Ben, I think, again, is also somebody who's kind of a blank slate, and I think this is kind of one of the major editing roadblocks that Curtis Armstrong and the team run into. I think this is why last year people were, I was not super happy with, you know,
I was too.
You as well were not super happy with the way they revealed that Kayla was the winner, because she was far and away the character we knew the least about last season. So I hope we're not running into a similar situation where they're going to have to kind of pull out the winner from thin air, having learned very little about their backstory. And it's looking like that's possible, because it's probably going to be somebody from Huluvu, just statistically speaking.
The thing is, it's like, especially with some of these other characters, like the reason why I know Ben a lot is just because of the podcast that he does.
What does he podcast about? King of the Nerds?
Yeah, talking about the show.
Okay.
Some of these people we know better from Twitter than the show, I feel. Yeah. And I feel like that's... yeah, that's the editors not doing their job properly, if that's the case.
Yeah,
and it's sort of not their fault when you have characters like Heather who will command like the confessionals, or like in now since Jonathan's emerged, like Jonathan and Amanda pretty much had like 5-10 confessionals each this episode, like they commanded the room. So it's sort of not their fault, but at the same time, it is. I'm still unsure about that.
I want to bring it back to Colby a little bit that we haven't talked about too much about him. And he became sort of a big figure in the show over the last couple of weeks after a quiet start for him. Did you guys think that Colby was going to be able to pull out the upset tonight, Brendan?
I thought he had a very good chance, certainly, because we've seen in the past that he is able to do a lot of studying, which of course did him well on Jeopardy, that even if it's not a subject matter, a nerdy subject matter that he really knows much about, which, you know, is really no categories of nerd popular culture. And yeah, I thought that it came down to the wire, the challenge. And he certainly did a lot of studying, and especially when they got up to the harder questions, they were throwing in fringier quotes from lesser known movies, and he was getting some of them right. Some of them were guesses by his own admission. And it came very, very close. Closer than I would have thought, given that Amanda was the horror movie expert, and I don't think Colby has ever seen a film.
I think it's a general theme with this like entire season that the typical underdogs aren't exactly doing so well in these like nerd offs. We could go back to the first episode. We could see that Jacob was rattled. So he really came across as the underdog. Thomas was the underdog episode two. And here it was the same thing. Colby came across as the underdog because everyone in the house basically wanted him gone. He lost again. I mean, he lost. So it might be a general theme.
And that might also be contributing to why there are a lot of people who are really not liking the alliance this season, how the eliminations are playing out. They certainly are not liking the contestants that are still in the game at this point. So, yeah, I think that plays a major factor in some of the distaste the fans have for this season.
We'll talk about the reactions to this. The reaction on Twitter has been negative to this season, Brendan.
Well, I think Mark can talk a little bit more about the reaction from the King of the Nerds subreddit, because I know he's on there a lot. And I believe the fan response over there, particularly to the Secret Six, has been extremely negative.
Oh, God. Can you, like, if you want to have some negativity in your life, go to the King of the Nerds subreddit.
What's the address? Reddit.com/r/King of the Nerds?
I believe that's the case. Okay. And just read every single episode, like, discussion, and it's literally, oh my gosh, Jonathan's such a coward, he's this, he's that. And then just, I'm not even gonna talk about what they say about the girls in the Secret Six. It's just disgusting, really.
Yeah. Oh my God. Well, what are they saying? I mean, can you they're jerks?
Yeah,
and that's the clean version.
Yeah, that's a kind way to put it, I think.
Well, then, but of the six people left in the show, five of them are in the Secret Six.
The King of the Nerds subreddit loves Caitlyn.
Caitlyn.
Yes, that's their dog.
They are all in on Caitlyn. I think a lot of them liked Colby too, and so they were not happy to see him go.
Yeah.
Yes, they are big Caitlyn fans, because Caitlyn, how bizarre that Caitlyn, who's, you know, bragging in her confessionals about getting straight A's and how she's good at everything and has always had success in her life, is suddenly the scrappy underdog that everybody's rooting for to go against the odds and win this whole competition.
Yeah.
We like her odds.
I like her odds. I think that she is somebody who just like has, we've like very slowly seen kind of dribs and drabs of her personality and what she brings to the table. Like a scene like her going up to Colby and trying to talk to him, even if it eventually like it means kind of nothing in the long run because he's gone. I think that's just a scene that we can see from that she is playing the game. And so that's like one of the few times in this episode that the editors were able to show us something rather than tell us, I think.
See, I don't like her odds because I feel like that when it comes down to the final nerd off, I feel like she's going to struggle with her lack of any sort of like pop culture nerd information.
I would agree with you, except for in the scene that from last night's episode when she was helping Colby to study, she actually knew a lot more about movies, like kind of nerdy movies, than I would have thought that she did. Like we saw her complaining about Prometheus and you know, movies like that. So in terms of recent culture, it seemed like she had her, even if it was to complain about it and talk about how it was awful, she seemed to have kind of a finger on the pulse of this stuff a little more than I would have originally thought.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the big strategic decision that was made in this episode by Amanda after Lily sort of put the bug in her head that the nerd off was probably going to be some sort of horror trivia that she belonged in the nerd off and pushed her into volunteering herself, voting herself into the nerd off, even after we saw Jonathan say that he was going to go and do it against Colby this week. Now, ultimately, this ended up working out for Amanda, not unlike when Ozzy said, vote me off. And he went down and beat Christine on Redemption Island and came back into the game triumphantly. It all works out for Amanda. Were you impressed, Mark?
I was very impressed. And the thing is, like, it almost threw Colby off. Like if we want to talk about the reaction to Amanda voting herself in, like she had to say out loud, yeah, this is going to rattle me for a few minutes. It's such a good strategic move to throw off your competitor. But at the same time, this is this person that came into the season saying, if you're going to try to send me into the nerd off, I'm going to throw you under the bus. So I'm still, it's kind of weird to see Amanda do this,
yeah.
But I applaud the move.
You applaud the move, Brendan.
Yeah.
I thought this was a horrible move.
I agree.
I think this was terrible. Just in the, like, regardless of what you think your subject matter is, what you're the best at, you do not risk a 50-50 chance that you're going to go home. Like, if Rob, if you were on the show and the category of the Nerd Offs came up and it was reality TV podcasting, would you put yourself in there even knowing that you were probably going to win? The fact is, I mean, and especially going up against somebody.
Are the questions like about podcasting, about reality TV? So it's like questions about like in blah, blah, blah. In this episode of Survivor Oz, you know, Ben asked, you know, is it like questions like that?
It could be about that. It could also be questions about recording equipment. If you're talking about the physical, technological component of it.
So it's a podcasting challenge.
Yeah. It's a podcast. Ooh. But yes, but the point is that it's entirely something that's within your wheelhouse. You're still not going to go for it, right?
Huh.
I would not put myself into the Nerf because I feel like this was coming less from a place of strategic benefit. Like, I don't feel like this was coming from the place of, we have to beat Colby here. If we don't head Colby off at the pass right here, he'll win the whole season. I don't think it was so much that as it was, I think that, you know, I can save Jonathan.
Yes, exactly. That was exactly it. It was entirely doing Jonathan's bidding. I feel like this is what Eliza always says about throwing challenges on Survivor and how rattled she gets about that. I feel like it's the same thing. It's just, if you have the opportunity to save yourself or put yourself in a position where there's a 50% chance or possibly greater that you're going to go home, why would you ever risk that? Because the thing is, we knew that there were only three people left. Colby was going to vote for Jonathan because that was the plan. And
stick to the plan.
Jonathan was going to vote for Amanda because that was like what they had set up. So Amanda had all the power. Amanda could have had entirely the decision on her shoulders. She could have made the decision to send in Jonathan, and just, yeah, it's the fact that she went along with this decision to save Jonathan, and she did it by her own hand to vote herself in. I just, you know, I think you can't even take into consideration the fact that she ended up winning. This was just so risky and so entirely dumb luck that she ended up, that this worked out for her.
Yeah, well, I will say it is dumb luck. I'm going to agree with that much. But I'm thinking of this as a good move in the sense that they've done this the previous two seasons. Six episodes, six eliminations. The next week is going to be an individual game. If you're thinking like that, would you rather see Colby go into the individual game where he can make runs and not have to go into a Nerd Off? Or would you rather see Jonathan there, who by his own admission, he's kind of scared of going into these types of things?
I don't know. I think that because we're seeing that Amanda seems so clearly in the interests of doing Jonathan's bidding, that she could have maybe found a way to turn someone like Colby into an asset.
And I think another thing here that I think we've failed to like keep in mind is the fact that the first thing that Amanda said this episode, or I think last episode, the last thing she said, I keep forgetting, is the fact that she wants to get rid of Colby for Heather. So I think that was that had to play some sort of factor into this.
Yeah.
It doesn't make it a better reason to do it.
It doesn't, but at the same time, I think that might have been her mindset.
Amanda needs to start playing the game for Amanda, not for Heather, not for Jonathan, not for the other people on Team Smash.
Yeah.
Like, I want to see Amanda win. Like, if Amanda wins, I'm just going to jump off the Jonathan train. Like, I love Amanda, but at the same time, you're right. That is, she needs to start playing for herself.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, especially this challenge too was very luck based. What I was trying to say at the top of the show, it was like the punch game from The Price is Right, where you sort of win chances to punch the board, and then you know, the Bob Barker used to, you know, have like, oh, I don't know if you're gonna like this one, and then it's like something good, and so it was very luck based. And Colby had a couple of really lucky, like, zombie pinata hits, and he got a couple of 300s.
Yeah, and that's exactly why, you know, even knowing that Amanda had the superior horror movie knowledge, exactly, it was Zombie Punch-A-Bunch, so you had to, like, get the cards in, and for all they know, there could have been, like, lose 50-point cards in there. Like, you just never know what it could have been. It ended up they were all pluses, but yeah, Colby got some very lucky pulls in there that kept it a tight game right to the very end.
Mark, do you think that the nerd off went on for more questions than we ultimately ended up seeing?
I'm going to say yes, because if you look at the ground, like the amount of slips that they had there, it seemed like there was more than just what you would have for three rounds. And I guess that's just reality TV editing at its finest, but it seemed like it was going to be more.
And they threw in that little thing at the end where the zombie was like, oh, I guess we made it out all right. You guys want to go now? Like, anyone, guys? And they made it seem like virtually, a lot more of the zombies had been decapitated than we'd probably seen.
Yeah. Now, something that I thought was really odd in the episode was, you know, we talked about where Amanda figured out, okay, I think it's probably going to be, you know, a horror movie trivia, and I need to go ahead and jump into the nerd off here and, you know, take the bullet for the team and knock out Colby. And in the throne room, we saw where Curtis was effing with Amanda there. Do you like that he did that?
Ashton Kutcher.
Yeah.
He just got punked.
It was clever. It was cute. I think as our buddy Rich Tackenberg would say, that he kind of knew that, like, what the strategic sense they were trying to play was. And I think you could maybe make an argument that perhaps he was revealing a little bit too much of Team Smash's hand to House Huluvu, but I don't know. Given the fact that Lily had her super spying skills on tonight, maybe there really were no secrets about this tonight. So if he creates a funny moment for the show, then that's what matters the most.
Well, it's like it all works out great for Amanda's POV, but what about from Colby's point of view?
Well, I mean, I don't know. If I'm Colby, even if I'm humorless Colby, I don't know if, you know, I hear that. Yeah, this nerd off is called differential math equations and physics. If I am even taking that seriously for a second. So
he was smiling, if you didn't notice.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Maybe I kind of saw it coming that maybe he was going to do the fake out. So I was surprised that a couple of them, you know, were like, oh, man, you almost gave me a heart attack there. So
in terms of Colby, we got a extended sort of, package from the beginning of the episode of how Colby doesn't fit in with the group. And a little bit of, I felt like a bit of a pity party for Colby, you know, and his story about how, you know, I really didn't fit in when I was younger and people didn't want to hang out with me. Did you guys feel like Colby wasn't really trying to get along with this group?
I definitely felt that. I mean, they're asking if he wants to play, Star Wars improv. And, he doesn't even just be nice about it, like, oh, I don't really feel like it now. I'm pretty sure his exact response to that was just pass. Like, he doesn't have these, like, great social graces. And so, yeah, he was not doing a great job at, and, you know, even like when Ben is trying to say, like, you know, talk to him about, like, you know, you told us a story, but growing up, you didn't fit in. I'm pretty sure Ben, like, wants to talk to Colby, and Colby's just like, what do you want, Ben? Like, he's not doing himself any favors here. And that's why, like, the whole segment, while I like the sentiment behind it that, you know, nerds are special people and we all need to get along and we can't exclude anybody, I think this was the wrong person to make the subject of the pity, as you say. And it was veering a little into kind of after school special territory. If that went on any longer than it ended up being, I would have been like, okay, this is too much.
Yeah.
I mean, to defend him a little bit, the entire house was against him for like a good, like, challenge, like, that nerd off. Everyone wanted him gone. So it's, to some extent, him feeling isolated and him feeling alone, I could understand that. And I get wanting to have some space, but I mean, you, Brennan, you said this, right? Like, he went into that Star Wars, like, improv, arms folded, saying pass, sat down, just like looking like he does not want to be there at all. So to some extent, he has good reason to do it, but he also kind of was a dick there.
Yeah.
Colby to the King of the Nerds season 3 cast is a little bit like Stanley to The Office.
Yeah.
Just, I think that's yes.
He just like,
so much.
Leave me alone. I just want to do my crossword puzzle. Like, get out of here with your Star Wars improv, Michael Scott.
Yeah. Why are you inviting me to do improv on things that have nothing to do with me?
Yeah.
Is that Kevin Spacey?
Kevin Spacey.
Oh, busting out my House of Cards impressions this weekend.
Your House Hulu of Cards. All right. So final six, only two episodes left here. Where do we think we go from here, Mark?
I'm going to call that next episode. Since we didn't get a preview, there has to be some sort of twist, because we normally get some sort of like, oh, this is what's going to happen next week. So I'm saying we're going to cut it down to five going towards the final episode. And then, four going down to the final episode.
So we get rid of two people next Friday and then start the finale with four. Brendan, you co-sign this?
Yeah,
I think so. I think that's how I want to see them do it anyway, because I already don't like that they kind of very quickly as possible with this sort of nerd trivia challenge in the last episode cut it down from four to two. So I don't want to see them do that from five to two. So yeah, I would like if they next week did some kind of double elimination. I'm not sure how that would work, or if they are doing it, why they didn't feel the need to advertise that it would be a big double elimination that people would want to tune into. But yeah, I don't know.
Now, are we gonna have a theme at all? That's my question. Like, do we just have enough time to do like two nerd offs?
Like, I don't know. We'll have to keep our eyes peeled to the Twitter and things like that to add Curtis's Booger and at Bobby's Lewis, and I'm sure we'll find out if there are any themes coming, what they will be.
Now, Mark, you said that the reception to the Secret Six has been icy. Do you have people on Twitter and on Reddit, have they been generally unhappy with the show, not just the cast this season? And does this bode well for a King of the Nerds season four?
Brendan could address that last part since he's been on track with the ratings. But in regards to the reception about the Secret Six and how everything's been going on, they like the season up to this point because there have been people like Colby and Kaylin. But if you were watching Twitter, and I was trying to like jump into a lot of these conversations, the women have gotten a huge amount of hate in regards to the moves that they've done. And quite frankly, I don't get that. So I could do an entire podcast about the reception that the Secret Six have gotten. It's just, it hasn't been good.
Okay. And Brendan, how have the ratings been?
The ratings have been all right. You know, they were on Thursdays last year, which went for the first season as well, which is, you know, generally one of the more watch nights on TV. But of course, it also makes it one of the busier nights on TV. And so there was a lot of competition. The ratings were not great. They moved the show to Fridays this year, and the ratings are holding up all right. I mean, they're holding up to about 80%, I'd say, of what they were doing on Thursdays. And if I'm TBS, I consider that a win, and I bring the show back for a fourth season, because this is a show that gets them attention. The people who love this show love the show. This is not a fan that I think has a lot of kind of lukewarm casual fans to it. So I think that, yeah, in general, by a fairly wide margin, the fans have not been as keen on this cast as they have been in previous years. But I don't really think that should hold too much of an impact on whether or not they bring the show back next year, because it's not like they're bringing anybody from this season back next year.
Okay. All right. I think that's a good place to bring this one in for a landing. A little bit of a shorter show this week, but we are getting ready for the final six to duke it out. Two episodes left of our King of the Nerds recap. So do you guys have a hashtag for episode six? Is Cumberbitch, is that too controversial?
That might be. I'm okay with that. But if you want a more family friendly version, we could do hashtag spying complete in honor of Lily's sleuthing skills from this episode.
Okay.
That was great. That was so good.
So give me that hashtag one more time.
Hashtag spying complete.
Spying complete?
Spying. Sorry, not spying.
Spying. Spying complete. Yes. There you go. All right. So follow these guys on Twitter. They're talking about King of the Nerds all week long. Of course, there's at Brendan D. Noel. And of course, at Dawn's Bread.
Yep.
There you go. All right. Looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say in the comments about King of the Nerds week number six. And we'll be back with another busy week of Rob Has a Podcast coming up next week. So make sure you subscribe to robswebsite.com/iTunes or grab yourself the Rob Has a Podcast app. Go to robswebsite.com/app. Have a great week, everybody. We'll talk to you again soon.